Brett will be presenting on whole plant water use efficiency of soybean genotypes contrasting for carbon isotope discrimination. So, thanks, Brett.
All right, thank you, Nathan, for that introduction. As he said, my name is Brett Naylor. I'm from the University of Missouri Columbia. And as we're all probably aware here that drought or lack of water is a huge yield determining factor here in the Midwest, not only for soybeans, but for lots of different crops. So it's important that we identify traits that can confer drought tolerance or identify different varieties that can do the same thing. So, and one of those traits I'm going to focus on here today is water use efficiency. So just how does carbon isotope discrimination factor into that? So carbon isotope discrimination, or CID, has been utilized as a way to select for or measure and improve water use efficiency in several crop species, including small grains such as wheat, barley, and rice, vegetable crops that include tomato and other field crops like sunflower and common beans. So carbon isotopes in the atmosphere here are comprised of 98.9% of the C12 isotope and 1.1% of this C13 isotope. If I could get my cursor moving. Well, anyways. But however, when we analyze the tissue of the plant, this C13 isotope is in far less concentration in the plant. So we know from that discrimination occurs of the C13 isotope as CO2 is incorporated into the plant, meaning that plants that have less discrimination should exhibit a higher water use efficiency. So for this study, we wanted to see what is the variability in CID and water use efficiency among different soybean genotypes, and what exactly is the relationship between CID and water use efficiency in soybean. And to do this, we utilize both greenhouse and field studies. So for the selection of our genotypes, we looked at a multi-environment study for 4 years in two different states, and we evaluated 60 plant introductions for carbon isotope discrimination and other drought tolerance traits. So you can see from this figure here, we had a nice distribution of differing carbon isotope analysis, and we chose to use three of the genotypes on the right, which exhibited a higher carbon isotope discrimination, and three genotypes on the left for extremes that exhibited a lower carbon isotope discrimination, which are indicated here by these stars. So the first step was to actually measure water use efficiency in the greenhouse under a controlled environment. So to do this, we utilized a randomized complete block design with four different replications as blocks. We had two different watering treatments, a well-watered and then what we would call a drought stress. So for our well-watered treatment, the soil water content was kept above 60% at all times. Once the pots began to reach that 60% threshold, they were watered back up to almost 100% soil water capacity. For the drought stress, the pots were always kept between 15 and 45% soil water content, and the same method was used here. Once the pots reached about 15%, which the plants then would exhibit visual wilting symptoms, they were watered back up to that 45%. And then, as I explained earlier, we used six genotypes, three for low CID and three for high CID. And here's just an image of our nice plants in the greenhouse. So as I previously said, we monitored the pots daily, and water was added when appropriate. 56 days after planting, we harvested the plants and the roots, and they're dried and weighed. The measurements we took are water use efficiency, which I'll focus on here in the results, biomass, leaf area, cumulative water transpired, net assimilation rate, and mean transpiration rate were also calculated. So for the results we had were very good. Our three genotypes that we selected for low CID, which are depicted in the dark bars here, all three had higher water use efficiency than our other three genotypes, and they were statistically significantly higher than two of the genotypes, with the exception of this 398965 here in the middle. And then for our treatments, we witnessed about a 28% higher water use efficiency for our drought treatments compared to our well-watered, which was expected. We also observed a nice negative relationship between water use efficiency that we measured in the greenhouse and the carbon isotope discrimination that we measured from that previous four-year multi-environment field study, and this was also significant. So once we determined that there were differences between the genotypes for carbon isotope discrimination and water use efficiency, we decided to take this experiment forward into the field and test it into a true production environment. So to do that, we planted the plots under rainout shelters in a strip plot design with the genotypes arranged randomly within the strips. And here is our rainout shelter with our plots planted underneath of it. We had three different treatments, a well-watered, a moderate stress, and a severe stress, which I'll explain those a little bit more in depth later. And then we, for just a lack of space, we only utilized four genotypes instead of six, two for low CID and two for high CID. Okay, this is just this image here is an example of how we laid out our drip irrigation for our irrigation strips and our treatments. The figure on the right actually depicts the amount of precipitation and irrigation that each of the treatments received in each year that we conducted the experiment. And as you can see here, our severe drought treatment received about 46% of the total seasonal rainfall and irrigation compared to the well-watered. And actually, it did not receive any irrigation after one until almost full maturity. And then our moderate stress treatment received one rewatering here about R3. So the results we obtained for carbon isotope discrimination on the left, this figure on the left is for plant CID. This figure on the right is for seed CID. And we also got some excellent results with this. Our two genotypes, PI416997 and 398198, exhibited a significantly less carbon isotope discrimination for both plant and seed material compared to the two genotypes that we selected for high carbon isotope discrimination. And for our stress treatments, as our stress became more prevalent or severe, our carbon isotope discrimination was reduced in both plant material. So for water use efficiency, the dark bars here are two genotypes that we previously observed to have higher water use efficiency in the greenhouse, also did so and were in the field and were significantly higher than our two genotypes that we observed to have lower water use efficiency. And for our drought stress treatments, with increasing stress, our water use efficiency also increased. As you can see here, our well-watered blue bar water use efficiency was significantly less than the two drought stress treatments. And for biomass, we actually found that our two genotypes that had higher water use efficiency had a much higher, significantly larger biomass than our other two genotypes, which would be expected as it's directly involved in the calculation of water use efficiency. And then we also saw that stress significantly reduced our biomass for our plants. Along with this, we observed a significant negative correlation between plant water use efficiency and plant CID, as you can see here in this top left graph. And we also observed a significant negative correlation between whole plant water use efficiency and seed CID. And then interestingly, we observed a strong positive correlation between our seed CID and our plant CID, which tells us that we can probably select either tissue for analyzation of carbon isotopes and test for water use efficiency in the future. And that's important because it's a lot easier to just obtain the seed and analyze it for CID than going out and harvesting lots of different plants at maturity. So in conclusion, genotypes that exhibited a lower carbon isotope discrimination were shown to also exhibit a higher water use efficiency in the field and greenhouse. And as our drought stress increased, water use efficiency also increased and carbon isotope discrimination decreased as expected in all the genotypes that we looked at. And also a strong negative correlation was observed between CID and whole plant water use efficiency. One thing we did not observe was a genotype by water stress interaction for CID or water use efficiency, which which was somewhat not expected. We expected the genotypes to behave differently depending on the treatment, but this tells us that we can select for water use efficiency or CID and possibly really good well water conditions or also drought conditions if there's no interaction. So just for the future, it's important for breeders especially that we find out what the mechanism behind this varying water use efficiency is. So is it completely stomatal, or a result of stomatal restrictions, or do some non-stomatal restrictions play a role in this? And then also, is there a yield penalty or improvement with selection for higher water use efficiency? So kind of the knock on water use efficiency as a trait has been that it could be growth limiting or yield limiting, because if you're selecting for lower transpiration rates or lower stomatal conductance, you could reduce photosynthesis and therefore yield. So it's important to see as we move forward what exactly does this trait have an effect on our yield components. And I would just like to acknowledge briefly my major advisor, Dr. Felix Fritchie, the lab members who assisted me with this project, and then the United Soybean Board for funding. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Question for Brett?
Okay, so the question is, what is the benefit of high water use efficiency?
What is the main reason for high water use efficiency?
Oh, the main reason for high water use efficiency. So it could be both or a combination of both. So water use efficiency is, in simplistic terms, the amount of dry matter produced per unit of water input. So you could have a genotype, for example, that has a really high biomass, but it also uses a lot of water, so it could have a large water use efficiency. Or back to the point of it could be growth limited, you could have a very small plant that uses very little water that maybe doesn't produce a high biomass or yield. So it could be a combination of the two, but plants that are able to produce more dry matter for the amount of water they receive are more water use efficient. Yep.
You have used greenhouse shelter. What you mentioned that there is a effect of precipitation and irrigation. So how it is? Now you have used greenhouse shelter. So how come you have effect of precipitation?
Okay, well, that's a good question. So one thing I failed to explain was until the growth stage R1, his question was, how can you have precipitation and effective precipitation if you're utilizing the rainout shelters? So until the growth stage R1, all the watering or the treatments were treated the same. So they received either ambient precipitation or irrigation if it was needed. At the growth stage R1, the rainout shelters, in the event of a rainfall, were moved over the plots, and then the well water treatment received only irrigation therefore, and our stress or severe stress treatments did not receive any water, or very limited. So.
Thanks, Brett.
Yeah, thank you.